100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you have a week to come up with the stories. No excuses for the poor audio quality, it just, you know... You should probably listen to this in a rainstorm or something so that you don't notice all the audio artifacts. It is what it is. The topic this week was fair. Now, we got a lot of stories this week, so I should just stop rambling and let's get right to it. The first story was sent in by Circe Broom, and okay, I'll take your excuses for the, you know, not sending in a recording. All right, just this one time. Yeah. No, when people don't send in recordings, I offer to record for them. And there's no midget. If you're new to this, you probably won't understand that. Here's Circe's story. Enjoy. Damn it. We are going to hell in a handbasket. We suffer storms never before at such wide destruction, unless you count the great flood of the Noah story. We go to see a movie and get mowed down like in a Class B gangster movie. We have to be careful and be very PC about how we talk about that. And, oh, don't eat Chick-fil-A, but hey, try to remember that we're supposed to have a right to our own opinion and freedom of speech, and what the hell has happened to us? Oh, my God. Thank you, Circe. Who knows where it went? I'm not sure. Although, while everyone was eating chicken sandwiches, I stopped by the Daily Grill in the Galleria and had a steak, and... oh, man, it was good. Yeah, that was like, what wine goes with us, as I tend to tweet. I actually say that when I go to places. If you can't say, what wine do you recommend with this? You really shouldn't eat there. Next up, we have Lizzie Goodcoff, who says that she's going to be taking a little break for a while with no or limited internet access, which, why are places defined by no or limited access as being great? Oh, because you don't have to deal with all the noise. But do you have to turn the devices on? Oh, of course you do. I know that. I'm not addicted, am I? I'm not an addict. I'll just play Lizzie's story and turn things off for a while.
The drama fair promised to be thrilling. Stress, arguments, misunderstandings, all in one place, and for such a low price, too. He checked the ticket. 1W. That was odd. In the chart, the rows went up to 100M. He didn't remember a W. But... he followed the signs and eventually saw an arrow pointing him in the right direction. When he got to his place, he saw no one. Where's the drama? The place was empty. He looked around and found a sign saying, "Warning, enforced no drama area." What? Damn it! I knew I shouldn't have bought the cheapest ticket. This was my story for the week. Check my blog at lizziegoodcoff.blogspot.com. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I guess I need to upgrade my ticket. Let's see. Oh, Thomas has a bunch of them. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get Thomas's stories going here. Let's listen.
Blonde and fair... button nose. Lovely wrote poems, read them from her iPad. She read at the first Friday open mic night. She stood close to the microphone, almost touching it with her glossy lips. She tossed her hair once, twice. We could hear her breathing as she read each line. From the back of the room, her friends snapped photos of her at the podium. Is like a rock concert. Lovely's poems were desperate and insipid. We tried to be polite, clapped when she finished. She curtsied. and I tasted a little bile in my mouth. Coffeehouse poet. A fair-weather friend, Norval, only called if he wanted to borrow the lawnmower or to ask if I would pick something up for him next time I'm at the big hardware store in the city. I wouldn't see him for months, and then he'd call. Can I borrow your extension ladder? Yes? Okay. Do you have a spare paint roller and pan? Great, great. I'll be out, but if you could bring them over, my wife is home, and just leave them around back. Great, super. Oh, your rose bush is hanging over the side fence. Do you mind cutting it back? Mrs. Fry was not fair at all. She taught American history and relied on the rote method for everything. She tolerated no humor or anyone getting out of their seat. I would be out of my seat all the time. I was bored and I hated the topic. She taught, but I didn't learn. I used the class period to write in my notebook, copy gunpowder formulas out of the encyclopedias, or to go up behind Shirley Ragsdale and squeeze a bosom or two, and sometimes put a wet finger in her ear and wiggle it until she cried out.
Thank you, Thomas. Man, it's kind of a dark morning. I'm trying to drink coffee, but I don't have any Baileys, but I have Kahlua. Coffee-flavored liqueur for coffee. I know, that's crazy. But we're out of milk, and she asked me yesterday, do you need anything at the store? And I would think she would know that, you know, she usually, you know, I should have... That'll become a story, won't it? Speaking of stories, how about one from Shruti? That's right, she's back. You're a sheet, right? It's not like I go down the street and it's like, hi, Shruti. Hey, Shruti. Hey, Shruti. It's like, I'm so isolated and confused. According to the advertisements, she should have been three shades fairer by now. If only for once they told the truth. She tried all her grandmother's recipes of milk, honey, lemon juice, and whatnot. No, none of it had worked. She turned 25 in September. If she didn't find a match soon, the only eligible men would be divorcees and widowers. Her father would never hear of it. To add to her troubles, society norms said AJ and Priya couldn't get married until she, the elder sister, was settled. She looked at her dusky reflection and sighed. Life wasn't fair. I say that the only color that matters is the darkness in my soul. Thank you, Shruti. It truly is dark and cruel and vicious and...
Ooh, what are you doing in the box, it'll go? You having any fun?
See, whenever we get boxes, we leave them strewn about. I know, we should probably, you know, keep it looking nice, but we're the only people who come in here. This is our home. We're not going, well, you know, come into our home. No. Next thing you know, we'll be going into your home. That's crazy. No, this is where the cats play. And then they go outside and inflict upon the world. And, oh, no, they come back and play in the boxes. Little boxes of ticky-tack. Speaking of ticky-tack boxes, let us head to the neighborhood of Jeffrey Fisher and see what he has for us this week.
This is Jeffrey Fisher with another 100-word story. Since our host graciously declared last week that he didn't really count words, I'm going to just state this story is exactly 100 words. No more, no less. 100 words. Plus, of course, all the words that come after word 100. But never mind that. Math is hard. Anyway, this story is Trick or Treat by Jeffrey Fisher. When we were growing up, my kid brother Dan and I had very different approaches to getting Halloween loot. I'd carefully plan a lengthy evening, hitting a lot of houses, and I knew who gave out the good stuff, the Snickers and Reese's cups, not toothbrushes and that god-awful Mike and Ike crap. Dan would hit just a handful of our neighbors and call it a night. Then the fun would begin. Against my protests, our parents would combine the candy and reallocate it between the two of us, snagging some of the best pieces for themselves, I might add. I might have done 70% of the work, but I ended up with less than half the haul. "That's not fair," I'd whine, but of course Dan didn't see it that way. "He's your brother," Mom always said, "so you need to split things with him." I'd mutter under my breath, but my parents enforced their rule. As I got older, I realized the only thing I could do was to hit fewer houses, so over time, my pile slowly shrank. Now I run a successful business. Dan is a politician. I guess some things never change.
So do you still share your candy with him? Oh, thank you, Jeffrey. That's actually, remember that one for the... I'm thinking this is going to be a Halloween special, right? Am I going to do it? Hold on, let me check the calendar. It'll wind up being in, like, a little more than 2 months. Yeah, that'll be a Wednesday. So maybe I'll do a Halloween special. And then, like, oh, I'm bringing this one back. So, and that'll be, like, the middle of the week. So, anyone still listening? Hello? Hi? All right. Let's keep going here with Serendipity. I'm going to read this story. The young woman arrived in the village in the early autumn. Fairwerin, for that was the maiden's name, was fair and fresh of face, unlike the dark-skinned, ruddy-cheeked women of the village. Her flaxen tresses framed her delicate face, her lips like rose petals adorning her porcelain skin. The young men, of course, entranced by her presence, followed her like puppy dogs, but they were charmless and uncouth in her sight. Quite simply, she was the very epitome of beauty and grace. We fed her to the dragon anyway. Well, fair maidens are devilishly hard to come by. Ha 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 ha. Now remember that story for the dragon festival that we have in October. Thank you, Serendipity. You know, have I ever done a theme of dragon? I could look back. I bet you Tom has statistics on all the topics we use, and if we used any topics multiple times. I know that we've used Christmas and Halloween and Valentine's Day multiple times. Mm. Oh, good. Coffee gets better as I drink more of it because all the Kahlua settles into the bottom. Whew, what am I going to do with the other half of the bottle? Oh, right, I said Tom, which means it's time for updates and a story from Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Let's start with raw numbers. Tonight we passed the 4,000th story with over 400 authors, a story average, a solid 12.2. For one full year in a row, we've been in double digits. In fact, that average is just below 20 stories a week. Amazing. Anima Zibaleta has been in the top 10 for over 200 weeks, sort of Dark Side of the Moon landscape. Thomas is 1 week shy of entering the top 10. Steve passes DJ into the 6th place. Congratulations. Bonchamps moves into the 21st place with 34 stories collectively. Next week, he'll move into the top 20, pushing out Houston Keys. Red Goddess, Lizzie, and Cliff are all in striking distance of the top 20. Chris Monroe is 3 stories shy of a year's worth of posting. Serendipity Haven bumps Rael, moving into the top 40. And last of note, your humble scribe has just written 100 stories in a row. Double gold. Tonight's story is called In a Chuck Jones Universe. Fair is fair, yelled Frankie, firing a burst of 9mm into the void. Fair is fair, screamed Johnny, returning the volley with a round of full metal jackets. Then came a sortie of tow missiles, followed by a barrage of MG-51s. Wimp, bellowed Frankie, letting loose of his scuds. Pussy, mocked Johnny, sending his Russian ICBMs into the black. Take this, raged Frankie, powering up his Imperial Death Star. Oh yeah? Railed Johnny, engaging his Ming the Merciless Death Ray. Both of them hit the Super String Triple K Electron Sequencer button simultaneously. From the void came, "You missed."
Thank you, Tom. You bring back such memories of Paper, Scissors, Rock getting out of control with all sorts of crazy things. I'm not crazy anymore, am I? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I can ask Muncie what he thinks. Yes, Muncie is here. How many monkeys? Is Muncie a monkey yet? You know, monkey, or Muncie, or I'm not sure. Have we ever done a topic of monkey? I really need to make a chart of all the topics. At one point, it will have every word in the dictionary, every I've never done a name, have I? Huh. Well, I'm not going to do the name Hitler, because Ignore Hitler gave up on that picture game. Got too many death threats, I guess. Maybe some marriage proposals. I don't know how the Germans think. Right. So here's Muncie and his... Oh, put my other foot in my mouth? Okay, hold on.
Greetings, mammalian bipeds and reptilian interlopers posing as mammalian bipeds in order to lure the human race into a false sense of security that they might feed on our delicious brain matter, which I totally don't have a problem with, I want to stress. Some of my best friends are lizard men. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Anyway, are you ready for a story? Let's do it up! Fairness by Chris Monroe. Fair? Where does fairness become relevant? Nobody ever said life was fair. Nasty? Sure, life's that. Brutish? Absolutely. Short? Oh, yes. Far too short. Doesn't seem short at first, but as you live, you realize it's shorter than any man can reasonably bear. But fair? No. It's unreasonable to even hope it might be. I've no idea who's been filling your head with such nonsense. Fairness. Oh, I said life was fair. When did I say that? Yesterday? Oh, yeah. I vaguely recall that. I lied. People lie sometimes. Get over it. After all, nobody ever said life was fair. Flash fiction at munzeestories.blogspot.com. Tweets at munzeemunzee. And remember, I am not a lizard man, but I am sympathetic to the lizard man cause. After all, we all gotta eat.
I agree, Muncie. You're absolutely right. Life isn't fair, but I'll still thank you anyway. Thank you. I think life is perfectly fair. It begins and it ends. Everything in between, that's your business. Right. Speaking of in-between, we're not at the end of this podcast yet, so here's a few more stories. Tora Bregianu has returned. Let's find out how fair Tora is. I think Tora's very fair. Very, very fair. Is that possible? Extremely fair? What words modify fair? Ooh, county! No. Oh, right. Here is Tora.
Klingon hull, bodadlach, bonech, ah! That means, would you like to speak Klingon? To speak the warrior tongue, you must first understand the warrior race, and this story will teach you about us in exactly 100 words. Fair. There were a human, a Ferengi, and a Klingon. They plotted to hijack a spaceship and steal its cargo of unrefined dilithium. The humans' subterfuge got them on board undetected. The Klingon overcame the crew. The Ferengi was able to get the best black market price for the dilithium. To divide the spoils, the human proposed. We should have equal shares. That is fair. The Ferengi responded, No, without me you could never have got such a good price. I claim half. That is fair. The Klingon drew his disruptor and killed them. He roared, My och! Hotch! We clap! We Klingon mo! Oh, yes. The Klingon's words mean, That is fair. I take everything because I am a Klingon. Kapla! Success in your studies.
Thank you, Tura, and for announcing that next week all stories must be in Klingon. Actually, that would be kind of a strange thing. I know that Guy David, who has been noticeably absent the past few weeks, he does stories in Hebrew on his site every now and then. So, 100-word stories can happen in any language, even languages that may or might not exist. Klingon does exist, though. It's out there. It's real. You don't think so? Well, watch out for the disruptor bolts. And what's that decloaking off the starboard bow? Well, it's a new story by someone who's new to this whole 100-word stories thing. It's Yordi Sands. Now, Yordi was having some problems in recording and then kind of forgot. So, I thought I'd just sneak this in here. You're okay with that, aren't you? I know you are. Here's Yordi Sands. Welcome to the madness. Uncle Bill told us we were going to stop at Mr. Goddammit's house, so he'd open the gate. Cousin Michael said, Who is Mr. Goddammit? Aunt Annie explained, When Mr. Goddammit was a boy, he got hit in the head with an axe. He lived, but afterwards the first word he said was, Goddammit, and he never stopped. Uncle Bill said, Don't annoy him, because he's crazy. We arrived at Mr. Goddammit's gate. He said, Goddammit, hey, Bill, and Goddammit, got that gate. We drove through, and the man looked at us. He said, God damn it, Miss Annie. Pretty kids. Thank you, Yordi. Maybe the next topic will be God damn it. That would be fun. Although, nobody's going to get hit on an axe this week. You can hit on an axe. I don't think it really is going to be warm to your coming onto it. But that's okay. There's some machetes over there that I've had my eye on for a while. Twins. Next up, we have Cliff Lowe, otherwise known as Uncle Monster. That's what appears in the post office up there on the wall. Have I used that joke before? God, I do this so many times. Of course I've used that joke before. Every joke that I come up with, every comment, every sly witticism, nothing's new. It's all the same over and over again, and then you keep coming back, and all the stories are different. That's the only thing that are different, the stories. Nobody sends in the same story twice, I say. I don't know, just as I don't count words, I don't go back. Oh, the coffee keeps getting better, because it's not coffee anymore. Here's Cliff and his story.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? The butcher is a man quite sound. He sells meat by the honest pound. Mirror, why do you vex? I mean fairest of the fairer sex. The barmaid by the name of Sal, whether you're drunk or straight, she's an honest gal. Mirror, when I speak of fair, I speak of beauty, skin, and hair. But, my queen, you can't deny that beauty's in the beholder's eye. Mirror, I've a hammer here. Now can you make your answer clear? Oh, now I understand. You're the fairest in the land.
Ah, yes. Whew, thank you, Cliff. I wonder if anyone's ever done that tale, but the mirror is No, I'm not going to go there. Right. If you wind up putting the mirror on the ceiling. Or put it down and sniff cocaine off of it. Maybe I'll write that one up. Thank you, Cliff. Who's up next? Zach Man. It's the Zach Man. Zach Man. One day, I'm just going to say, okay, we're going to commission a musician and have theme music for everyone. And then I can just assemble it all without putting on my headset. Although I'd have to read all the stories that people send in without recordings. I don't know. That takes effort. All right. I'll go ahead and just play you Zach Man's story now. I know you can't wait. I can't either.
I need your fare if you want to ride the shuttle to the ticket gate, but if you don't want to pay, it is less than 2 miles away. Since it is such a fair day, you might enjoy the walk, said the shuttle driver. Fair is fair. I will be doing a fair amount of walking already. Hopefully enough to walk off the deep-fried fare. Last year, my diet did not fare well, and my fair wife threatened to find me a fair deal on a hog scale if I didn't stop eating too much fair food.
Thank you, Zach Man. Ooh. I haven't done that yet today, have I? No. Okay. Ooh. Oh, the light's finally turning on. I could have turned the light on in here, but no, I don't want to wake the little baby in the, no. See, I've got a Kleenex box too, but that's too small for the kitty. Or at least, I think so. I'm gonna stuff you in, no, I'm not. Alright, let's keep going. Batgirl is back. We're working on a project. It's not a secret project, but it's out there and I'm still working. And there's also this, instead of, if you're not really good with words and you're good with images, there's this new single frame story challenge. Mention at Batgirl's site. You can check the links and it's out there. It's all out there. It's all out there. Google it. Just Google everything. Google is the center of the universe. No, it's not. It's just the center of my universe. And that's really all that matters.
So, you don't have any money, he crooned, in an oily voice that made her cringe right down to her painted toes. That's fine. I'm sure we can figure out a fair trade. She wanted to run. She wanted to hide. She wanted to choke the leer out of his little weasel eyes. But she hurt bad. I guess alone's out of the question, she joked, stalling. You'll get what you want when I get what I want, he said, unzipping his pants. Fine, she sighed, forcing down the bile in her throat. Bend over, you little bitch.
And this is why we have the explicit tag. Because, woo! Yee. So about that collaborative project, I'm not wearing something with a zipper. Thank you, Batgirl. We're gonna get letters. Maybe we'll wind up with some kiss-ins. Anyone want a chicken sandwich? Oh, right. Maybe I should have made the topic chicken sandwich. No. Maybe next week. Ooh, chicken. Have I ever done a topic of chicken? I really, really need to make a list. I really do. We've had, you know, all sorts of... Oh, a twofer. No, I don't want to do that. Oh, well. I do know that I want to do a Wikipedia random one. Just keep hitting random until you're inspired. That could be fun. I haven't done one of those in a while. What do you think? Oh, wait, you've already said what you think. Never mind. Okay, so now Mist is asleep in the box. Bruin is getting a drink of water. And Bruin is probably going to walk up to the box and just stare. And sure enough, he's staring. Mist just woke up. And... Nope. He wants to go play with the... Go dull his nails. Aren't you glad that I do play-by-play? Man, this is way better than the Olympics, isn't it? I think Oscar Pistorius is going to run today. I hope he wins. I hope all the other athletes, scooch back a bit and let him win. It's not badminton or anything. I mean, come on. Here's Bonchance and Seve. Maybe they'll race, too. I'm going to bet on Seve. Even though those heels, I mean, yeah. Ooh, Spurs that jingle jangle yow.
Crab Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word, fair. Collaborative works by Severina Halo star, Bonchance Longfall. Fair. At the edge of the woods, a funhouse stood near the fair. A disheveled clown stood at the entrance, luring people in with an evil grin. Admission was 50 cents. Clumsy reeked of drink. People were put off. The next day, a new sign, free puppies on exit. Sally paid. She almost made it to the exit alive. A few feet from the exit, she noticed the decaying skeletons. Suddenly, 13 ferocious, snarling little puppies, led by Pablo and Espy's little Peppy, rushed towards Sally. Screams pierced the air as sharp milk teeth sunk into her tender, soft skin. Fair. Tom knew life wasn't fair. His existence was filled with hardships. He called orphanages some sort of home since a wee boy. By 9 years old, an accomplished thief. His first murder at age 12. Tom lived tough, never expecting or giving any kindness in his life. Standing at the gallows, he reminiscent as the executioner tightened the noose. His reverie was interrupted by the warden saying, "As a courtesy, sir, do you have any last words?" He shook his head no, thinking to himself, "Finally!" The executioner later remarked, seeing Tom smiling as the death hood slipped into place.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, don't need milk in my coffee anymore. I'll tell you that. Yow. Thank you, Bonchance and Severina, the greatest collaboration since Shields and Yarnell. Wherever did they go? Whatever happened to them? Everything used to be about them. Donnie and Marie, Shields and Yarnell. The '70s were all about the collaboration. Next up, we have Stephen the Nuclear Man, a collaboration between Stephen and Nuclear Man. Man, this is getting good. It's getting so good. Now I'm writing up a note in here. Mirror on the wall, mirror on the ceiling, mirror laying flat, so you can snort cocaine off of it, mirror held under the nose, rearview mirror. We're getting all these mirrors. Isn't that cool? But looking in the mirror now, I see me hitting play. Stephen the Nuclear Man, tell us a story.
Stephen the Nuclear Man here. Yes, Crimson Pact Volume 4 has now been released. You can find it at thecrimsonpact.com. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's currently in ebook formats. We're expecting print mid to late August. You could also find out some more stuff about Alliteration Inc. by joining our mailing list. Oh my gosh, a mailing list. I know, right? You can stop by alliterationinc.com/contact.html and find the link there. Intro music, of course, is The Theme by Echoed, with the background music during the story being from the Nine Inch Nails Ghosts album. Randolph growled from behind the curtain. "It isn't right!" He tensed, but I restrained him with a hand. "Not yet, brother. Our nostrils flared with the smells of teenagers drenched in perfume and desperate older women. Not yet. The movie marathon paused before the final film. Now, I said, extending my fangs as, under the moonlight, Randolph's fur sprouted from his skin. We strode before the screen, sparkling body lotion glittering, the crowd going wild. Afterward, Randolph kept muttering, "Still not right. We deserve more than minimum wage." "Plus tips," I said, retrieving dollar bills from my pants. "Plus tips."
Make sure you declare those tips on your income tax. Just saying. Oh, sorry. Just... Oh, those pants. Oh, so. Thank you, Stephen the Nuclear Man. Red Goddess. Red Goddess! She sent one in before the... Oh, my. She's getting good about that. Pretty soon she'll be... I already made that joke, didn't I? I made all the jokes. I've run out of jokes. Maybe it's time for a new host. A new host after all these years. Who wants to host? Who has new jokes? Maybe I could get a joke writer. Yes, yes. Oh, wait, the midget. He took that job. Then why hasn't he been writing jokes? Oh, no. I should probably check on him. I guess I shouldn't have left all my belts down there. Here's Red Goddess.
Crap Mariners, 100-word challenge. This week's word is fair. The ride is by Red Goddess, Talk with Marie. Fair. This month, the State Transportation Authority raises the fares for buses and trains. They triple the price for seniors and students. In some areas, bus routes are restricted. Commuters took to the streets. They jumped the turnstiles to show these power-hungry executives they are fed up. Lola saw all sides of the argument, even though she, too, will be affected by these changes. She wondered, how is it fair for people to choose whether to buy groceries, medications, or pay for a damn bus pass? It seems these transportation managers cut their sense of decency with the annual budget.
Oh, was decency ever in the budget? Oh, we've got to cut that, too. Thank you, Red Goddess. No, I don't think there's any decency in any budget anymore, which is part of the definition of budget, I guess. It's hard to choose. Do I budget for one cat or the other? What do you guys think? They're just staring outside. There's probably something interesting out there. Got a few more stories to go. Oh, what? Anima Zabalada is back? Oh, good! Good, uh-oh. She says, you know, was the recording that bad, or did I forget to attach it? I think you forgot to attach it. I'm not sure. I don't have the folder for last week. I'm just getting so disorganized. That's okay. There's plenty of time to get organized. What are you two doing? Here's Anima Zabaleta's story and the recording, which is perfectly good. Don't worry, it's okay.
Hello, Anima here with this week's challenge, Lulu. Lulu is a grand mountain of a madam. She's a house mother for the trapeze girls, the ones they come to for emotional support when the applause and their looks begin to fade. Lou feeds the lions and tigers, tossing hefty bales of catnip to her kitties. She always has a pot of verbena tea brewing, with maybe a drop of something stronger for the midway barkers when their throats are raw. Lulu is fearless as she chides the ringmaster when he is being overly arrogant. She might have a beard and weigh 700 pounds, but she's my fair lady.
Ah, my fair lady, indeed. Well, as long as she's fair about it. Thank you, Anima Zabaleta. They are just so cute. Of course, when I go to the bathroom, they follow me in there, and they're all jumping around, and it's like, I thought I closed the door. Oh, well. The problem is they get in before I close the door, and then they're trapped in there. Eek! Trapped in the bathroom with cats. Oh, no, it's torture. It's like a entertainment show, even though I'm playing Words with Friends on the phone, and I could probably use a sanitary wipe. Right. Speaking of sanitary wipe, let's get cleaned out here by Danny Dwyer. I think he's got something to say.
Weekly Challenge 328. Fair. The Fairness Doctrine, meant to ensure that a variety of views beyond those of the licensees and those they favored were heard on our airwaves. In August 1987, the FCC abolished the Fairness Doctrine by a 4-0 vote. This allowed Newt Gingrich, in the GOPAC memo of 1994, to strongly advocate describing Democrats as decay, failure, collapse, deeper, crisis, urgency, destructive, sick, pathetic, liberal, betray, shallow, traitors, and sensationalists. This position has been adopted wholeheartedly by our mainstream media, owned by the rich and affluent, and hell-bent on not telling us the news but making profits. Well, doesn't that sound fair and balanced?
What happened to the hello, hello? I think there should be fair and balanced by you saying hello, hello, so I will say hello, hello. Oh, right. Hello, hello. Hello, hello! Notice how I avoid the 800-pound Newt Gingrich in the room. Ooh, wait, if he's 800 pounds and the 700... No. Thank you, Danny Dwyer. Oh, right, more stories. Norval Joe? Sure, we're ready for Norval Joe. You got plenty of practice. It's time for the dessert. Norval Joe, blow that horn. I mean, harmonica.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 328 with a prompt of fair. Now, to be fair, I thought this was my 200th consecutive story. Maybe 200th consecutive week. I don't know. It's been a long time, and I don't intend to quit anytime soon, so you'll just have to put up with my stories. So here's my story. Owen screamed as only a chicken could. He flapped his wings and tried to escape the wizardess's stranglehold. After her arms were scratched, pecked, and bleeding, Sharika stuffed the chicken into a canvas bag. To be fair, Owen was a chicken, and rather than wait for him to revert to his normal form, Sharika turned Traveler into a chicken hawk. As he lunged into the sky in search of the demon horde, Traveler screeched at the boy. What chicken wouldn't act like, well, a chicken? Even more unfair was an hour later when Owen reverted to being a boy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
There's a reason we called them demon dogs, with their sleek little faces and their beady little eyes. Wiener dogs. Demon dogs.
Now things are just getting weird. Oh, thank you, Norval Joe. I feel like there's some sort of... Remember how, in The Simpsons, where there was a full movie in those little episodes with Rainer Wolfcastle? And it was like, Mendoza, and that kind of thing. I feel like we're getting one of those with the wiener dogs. I'm not sure. Right, one more story? Sure, why not? Planet Z. No, seriously. That's it. One more. Planet Z. Here, let me share it with you.
Buttons always sleeps on my twin sister's bed. Our friends and parents can't tell us apart, but Buttons can. I've traded beds with her, but Buttons still sleeps next to her. Treats under my pillow, catnip on the blanket. It's not fair. I beg my parents for another cat, saying how Buttons is lonely and needs a cat friend. I promise to clean the litter boxes, pay for the vet bills out of my allowance, and get good grades. We pick up a kitten. I name her Mittens. That night, I watch her sleep, curled against Buttons on my sister's bed.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about fair. And a few good lessons, too. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfulofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, where the topic will be nothing. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.